church team and leaders. Before I invite them to the platform, I just want to frame why we have done this as a leadership team, why we decided to celebrate and profile our children. God loves children. God loves children, and he talks to us as adults about the need to have that childlike faith in the way that we respond to him. And the truth is that the older we get, often the more cynical we become at times, the more jaded, the more weary, the more we accrue knowledge. And sometimes that knowledge can become something that we feel superior about. But if you watch our children, they worship with exuberance, don't they? They make noise, they have fun. They are simple in the way that they choose to trust and to be obedient to what Jesus is asking them to do. And I was drawn to Psalm 127 that says this: unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is useless. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows in a warrior's hands. How happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. And you know, this morning I'm not reading those verses from a personal position, because they weren't spoken into a personal context. So it's not a condemnatory verse for those people who don't have children. Actually, when you look at this, God's talking about building the house. He's talking about building his people, his army of children. And he's basically saying this: if you've got children in your midst, they're a gift, and we have. We're so blessed as a church family to have these little ones that have been entrusted to each of us to show them and model them a life of faith. They're a reward from God. And so I guess that's God saying to us here in Skylark Church in some way, you know what, I'm just delighted with what's taking place. As I build my house here and as you co-labor with me, these children, they're a symbol of God's favor and his delight. We're so blessed to have them. There's that brilliant moment in the New Testament when Jesus he's been teaching, and he's just come to a place where he's, hello, darling. There you go. There's our little prophetic statement for the morning. Are you going to go back down with Daddy? There we go. Thank you. Oh, love her. There's that moment where parents want Jesus to bless the children, and the disciples basically say, in other words, he's too busy for that. Don't bother him now. He's got stuff to do. He's got more important stuff to do. But we all know that Jesus says, hang on a minute, let the children come to me. And in that moment, he's basically saying, God loves children. God loves children. There's nothing more important for me to be doing. And he blesses the children. And we want to stand as a leadership team today and as a church family today and bless what God is doing in our children, because that's his heart. He wants to see these children grow into strong men and women of God. He wants them to survive the church years through their teenage years. Actually, not just survive. He wants them to thrive and flourish in his purposes through their teenage years. He wants these children to be world changers, and it doesn't matter how young they are. We can all learn something from our children. They show us how amazing our dad in heaven really is. You look at them and you look at their uniqueness. They have their own individual personalities from a very young age, as I'm sure any parent will tell you. And they reflect the father heart and the creative nature of our God. Those individual gifts and talents and skills that he places within them. Those things that he wants us to develop and nurture. Now, over the last few years, under Rachel Hall's leadership, we have seen incredible growth and consolidation in our kids' church. She took over from Tracy Bishop just over 3 years ago now, and Rachel has led our children forward in the most incredible grace. I think one of the words that I would use to describe Rachel is full of grace. She has grace over her life, and she has extended such incredible grace to our children. She has enabled them to have fun as they come to church. She's encouraged them to listen to Holy Spirit and to step out in the gifts that Holy Spirit is giving them and learn to communicate with God and to hear from Him and to become braver in how they express that. We've loved seeing the children step forward and worship in such a tangible way with their mums or their dads or guardians on a Sunday morning and just have a blast in His presence. And that in turn has rejuvenated our worship, hasn't it? As we've watched them with their air guitars, we've all become a little bit more exuberant in our own praise, just watching them and seeing the pleasure that God takes as our children worship Him and enjoy that. We've seen all sorts of changes happen outside in kids' church, some incredible new ideas implemented. And what we've seen is a core team that's become really, really strong within kids' church, and we're so, so grateful for that. You know, we spent some time chatting with Rachel, and over the last, 6 months or so, it's been really clear to see that there's some kind of change coming. And Rachel has felt increasingly passionate about kids' church, but she's also had a sense that actually it's time to pass the baton over for leadership and vision to somebody else. And we're hugely excited about that, because I believe that what you're going to model, what you're going to see modeled in church this morning, is going to actually have repercussions in the spirit for many years to come, because this transition that's going to take place this morning before your eyes is happening from a place of unity. It's happening from a place of love. And where Lindsay Wells has faithfully been serving Rachel's vision for many years, in fact, she's been involved in serving in kids' church before Rachel came into leadership. And over the last year or so, Lindsay has felt really called to invest more into kids' church. And so she's been volunteering her time to do administration in the office. She's just been, you know, involved in leading and doing the donkey work in many different ways. And as Rachel had this sort of sense that actually there's some other things that God wants her to get involved with alongside kids' church, and she's going to still be passionately leading and serving within the kids' church team, we've watched Lindsay grow in stature and grow in leadership, and we've been thinking, wow, she's definitely transitioning into something. We wonder what that could be. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit did what He did best, and He just gave us all revelation. And so Rachel suddenly knew, I want to be part of this. I'm still passionate, but I feel like someone else needs to carry the vision and the mantle of overall leadership. And Lindsay suddenly thought, wow, I think that could be me. And we laughed and smiled and rubbed our hands to see that God is at work in the little things and in the big things, and that actually this transition that we're going to talk through today is a really exciting time in the life of Kids Church. So I'm going to invite both wonderful ladies to the platform, and we're going to talk more about Kids Church together. So would you give them a warm welcome? So we're going to do a little interview this morning, and we're going to talk to Rach and we're going to talk to Lindsay, and there'll be some questions that we ask to both of them. And then at the end, we are going to firstly give you a chance to respond and to sow your lives in whatever way you feel able to into this wonderful ministry in the life of the church. And then we're going to pray when the children come back in, we're going to pray for this transition of leadership this morning. And I know that as we talk, there is something so, so significant that's taking place in the spiritual realm today. I just have a sense that there is going to be fruit that we see over the coming years, that you just can't imagine how much fruit from the lives of these two that they're going to deposit. This is because they're living it and they have chosen to live it. So listen up, because this is for you this morning. Starting with you, lovely Rachel. Good morning. So, The last few years in Skylark Kids have seen some incredible times of growth and expansion, and I know that for you that's been super exciting, and at times it's probably given you a few more grey hairs too as you've led us forward. Could you talk us through the journey, some of the ways in which Skylark Kids has changed and developed and expanded under your vision and leadership?
Yeah, well, it definitely has been an exciting and a joyful and an educational few years. I think the position of Skylark Kids when I took over, it was in a healthy position. There were children building relationships. The team was great, pouring into the work of the Skylark Kids work. And I had lots of kind of different things from God when I took over. But the main thing, the overarching thing, is that this was going to explode. It was going to take off. It was going to burst. And it did. And I really had a vision of, I wanted every child who came into Skylark Kids, who came into church actually, to love it. And that connection with like loving going to kids, to Skylark Kids, to their church, equals loving God and finding a connection with God. That was really, really on my heart that, you know, I just wanted those children to love coming to church. And obviously the enemy wasn't very happy about this kind of idea of just the kids' work exploding and growing and expanding. And we had some pretty powerful prayer times together and with Yasmin as well in this church, in our team, just because we felt that it was under attack. It was under attack for quite a long time, and we just had to keep on praying, and we had to keep on just tilling the fields. I think that's what you definitely had that. And so there were some hard kind of times that we had to push on through, to, you know, use a cliche. It did indeed grow. I'd say it's doubled. On average, we probably have about 50 children attending kids' church every week, would you say?
That's incredible. Probably That's 60. Incredible.
I realised that we had to change things because of this. And each of us, and including the children, has a unique thumbprint. We are unique. And you can't kind of just put children, any of us, in a box. You can't just do the same thing. And that is about how we connect with God. And God has made us unique. And so we really wanted to understand how we could change the way that we did the kids' work in order to enable the children to connect in the way that they needed to in order to build a relationship with God. And we have an incredible team, and they pour in so, so much. Lindsay downstairs has just done so much with kind of her team and the people that help her there, and have just kind of expanded the things that are on offer. I mean, if you go there, if you're bored now, just get in the kids' church because it's great fun. And just lots of different areas. So it's just all about play. It's just all about storytelling. But actually, that's the way that the children are connecting with God, and you can just see God communicated through being in that room, through being in that work. And upstairs, which is the older kids' group, we introduced some different zones: a creative zone, a performing zone, a craft, an creative, performing, construction, and physical zone. And so we just try and teach about Jesus through these different things. So, you know, they're doing Lego, they're doing performance, they're doing dancing, they're doing craft. And it has just seen an amazing change because more and more children are just connected and engaging. It just allows the Holy Spirit to work in the way that he needs to. And they are just, it's just flourishing, it's thriving. And from the kind of, in the hard times, the hard bit, I think it was when I was actually with Yasmin and I just had some dinner at her house. And it's always kind of remained with me this, that I just left her house and we'd been talking and praying and just chatting about stuff. And it was like, you know what, this is all about God. All of the other stuff, all of the other kind of things that are frustrating, doesn't matter. It's actually all about God. Anything that I do is all about God. And each of those children has eternity set in their hearts already. And so it's just about us facilitating them and being alongside them on that journey and making, just building a relationship with God. And just, that's it, really.
That is so, it's so encouraging to hear that, and it's so true that when we strip everything back, it's already that God deposit is already there, that seed in each of our children, and your job is literally just to water that with the power of his presence and his Holy Spirit and the word of God. That's fabulous. So could you share, over the last however many years, just a couple of milestone moments? What are some amazing testimonies or some funny stories or some ways in which you've seen God really move powerfully in Kids Church so that we can get a tangible snapshot of some of the things that are happening?
Well, the kind of thing that really has been the most inspiring about being in Kids Church is, well, one of the most inspiring things is the team. The team are just amazing, and they kind of consistently educate me and inspire me. And that is all of them, and they all have amazing, wonderful, unique things that they bring to the team. And, you know, I am very extrovert and very over the top, so if you ever see me leading anything, it will be loud and I'll be really sort of shouty. But Caroline Hammer, I don't know how many of you know her, but she's amazing, and I've learnt so much from that wonderful woman. She, if you watch her with the children, she just engages them and she connects with them. She's calm and quiet and so spirit-filled and gentle, and that I've just learned so much from being with her. You know, I'm thinking of Mark Pape upstairs with a basket on his head telling the story from Revelation, because yeah, we teach Revelation in Kids Church, why not? And I don't understand it, but hey. And you know, I have been really blessed to I think when I probably around about the same time I took on the role, Nicola Scully started coming to church, and I've had some amazing planning, late night planning sessions with Nick, just trying to figure out family worship, which is we kind of used to get all the families together upstairs, and we're just kind of like, all right, we just want to really tell, just teach the children about this thing about God, and we just want them to grasp it. Okay, what we're going to do, and all these mad things, and then I'm there on a Saturday night using bin bags to black out the windows upstairs, so because we're teaching about, you know, letting your light shine and Jesus being the light of the world, and then we're like setting up all the DJ decks and the AP, and they're like, okay, they need us again upstairs, and we've got the lights, the strobe lights, and you're thinking, really? Is this going to work? And then just seeing them worship with their glow sticks and just pure joy. And you're like, who's telling me that these children don't know God already? You know? Yeah. And the main thing is the kids, really. I set the team and the kids. They are amazing. They're small humans, you know, and they can teach me things, and they are funny and wonderful to connect with, and I just love being with them. I love the times that I have upstairs with the older kids, where we're just like, okay, let's ask some questions, let's find out the answers to that, let's pray for each other, let's do this. Oh, you've had an amazing word about this, let me hear your poem that you've written. Okay, you've built this amazing Lego creation, which is just speaking so much about the hand of God on our lives. Just, I could go on and on. And you saw last week, I don't know how many of you were here, but the testimonies from our children who have given their lives to Christ. And there's 7, 8, 12. Doubling and doubling, yeah. So
amazing.
Amen.
Linz, could you also just share a few of your highlights and testimonies for us?
Do you know what? I think it's such a privilege to be out there every week that we do it. You know, I think, and there are so many things I could talk about, but I think one of the overriding things is you cannot help but be challenged when you go out there. You cannot help but have your faith challenged and deepened. And as you see, there was one time that, and again, Rachel touched on the curriculum that we have. We do upstairs and downstairs, and it's just, you know, changed to make it appropriate. And one week it was about Jesus coming back again. It was after Easter, and we'd done about Jesus dying on the cross and the resurrection, and then we had to do about the second coming, about Jesus coming back again. So great, okay, Brilliant. Right, how are we going to get 3 and 4 year olds to grasp that? And I was chatting and I said to them, you know, we recapped on Jesus dying. And I said, do you want to know something really exciting? And they're like, what, what, what? And I was like, we're going to see Jesus one day. He's going to come back one day. And the look on their faces, you know, when you just have moments you just wish you could bottle and just keep forever. And their face is just like, what? Jesus is going to come back again. I'm going to be able to see Jesus. I'm going to be able to talk to Jesus. I'm going to be able to be with Jesus. And I was just like, yeah. And they were like, whoa. I was just like, do you know what? How excited do I get about that? Like, actually, that really challenged me on how excited am I that one day, for eternity, I'm going to walk alongside Jesus, and we're going to be chatting and hanging out. And, you know, that was just one moment where they just, you know, they got it. There was a three-year-old. We had a time where we just had some worship music on, and we had, like, tarpaulin everywhere and paint, and it gets messy, you know. If you don't like mess, then maybe kids' church isn't for you. But it, you know, and we had these paints out, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. There was one boy, and he, you know, he was painting away. He was 3 years old. I said, that looks awesome. What? Well, tell me about your picture. Because it's really easy just to assume you know what's going on in something that children are making or doing. I was like, tell me about your picture. And he was like, these are the houses on my street, and this is the Holy Spirit going through the houses. It's like, whoa, that's amazing. It's like, yeah, and then on to the next thing. Like, this is the thing I love about children. Like, when Jesus said to the people around him, look at the children, look at how they do things, and I want you to be like that. He wasn't saying, I want you to be childish. He was saying, children, when and also it's not like a blind faith. It's not like a just, you know, a walk blindly along. What is the first question every parent in this place will know, or anyone who's worked with children will know? What is the first question children ask at a very young age after no? Why? But do you know what? When children get a truth, they know it. Yeah? When children get hold of something that they know to be true, they've got it. And they tell everyone. And then they're surprised that you know it. Like, my children come back from school and they're like, tell me this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. And they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, well, you know, I've been around for a little while. And that's the other thing that I just love. We've got, you know, again, five-year-olds praying for their classmates in their classroom because one of their grandparents passed away. We've got nine-year-olds praying for their friends in the playground. We've got seven-year-olds who have just given their lives to Jesus, and on a Monday morning, when the teacher says, what news do you want to share? They're saying, I became a Christian at the weekend. Like, seriously, do you know what, like, how many of us go into our workplaces, go to the school playground to drop your kids off, to pick them up, go to college, go to work, wherever it is, and have Jesus on your lips? Like, do you know what? That challenges me. That's why I do kids' church, for a number of other reasons, but that's it. Like, and yeah, I could go on and on even more.
Brilliant. Oh, it's so inspiring to hear this. Now, Linz, I know you've been passionate, and I think we can all tell you're passionate, for some time about investing your time and energy into Kids Church, and you've served the vision. But could you fill in, for everyone who doesn't know, a bit of your story and background, kind of how long you've been involved and what has led to this interesting progression now and this handover moment?
Cool. So, going to just be completely honest with you guys. I, in terms of church, kids' church was not on my radar. Like, in my professional life, I worked with children. I've always worked with children as a nurse. I've worked in hospitals, in communities. I've worked in schools. I've done many years around children's mental health. You know, all these different areas. And I'm very passionate about children and seeing them be the best that they can be and supporting their families and their parents. when it came to church, like, it just wasn't on the radar. And being completely honest, until my eldest son got to the point where he was then in kids' church, and I was just like, oh, okay, what's going on in there? And, you know, it's not somewhere you can just drop drop them off in the morning, got an hour or half an hour. So then, and God really challenged me, because I could see that there was need there. And God just, you know, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, this is just my personal journey. And God just dropped into my heart, what are you going to do about that? Oh, don't know. Like, well, what are you going to do about that? There's a need there. You know, your initial motivation might be your children, but actually God's placed inside of me something that is really passionate about children. And that thing just started to grow. And so I went to Tracy at the time. So this was probably about 4.5 years ago. And so I just said to Tracy, you know, I don't know what the need is, but I'm here. Use me, whatever you want me to do. Please let it be making drinks. Please let it be, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And she was like, that is amazing. Right now, we need someone to lead the downstairs group. Okay, God, I said yes to you, so let's do it. So that's kind of how I became involved in Kids Church. And then Rachel took over, and it's just, you know, I just love this woman. Like, it's just watching her and just, you know, what Tracy then said, and the people before her, like, it just went another level. And that, you know, that wasn't just in the numbers of children that we were getting. I think, you know, just in every way, it just went, yeah, it's just been an incredible past 3 years. And about a year ago, God said very clearly to me and Ed, my husband, right, it's time, you need to start releasing capacity. So at the time, I had a great job that I loved at the university. I was in a wonderful team. I was being invested in. It was great. It was really busy, though. And, you know, Ed's job was becoming increasingly demanding, and everything was good. It was just bubbling on. But God said, you need to release capacity. So, okay, what does that mean? You need to lay down your job. Oh, right, okay. Quick look at the finances. Really? Like, completely lay it down? Yes. Do you trust me? Then this is a question God asks us quite a bit. I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. He said it. Like, I literally had one of my dear friends come up to me and say, I was praying for you, and I don't normally do this, but I'm just going to say it, and God has told me that you need to leave your job. Okay, can't really argue with that, can you? When, you know, someone who didn't know about the situation was like, okay, right. So we did it. And last summer, I left my job, and that mean, you know, and I had a few jobs actually at the time, because I was also doing additional nursing work at the same time, which is a great safety net. He was like, no, that needs to go too. Like, that safety net of those bank shifts that you do when there's a month coming up and the car needs to be MOT'd or you'd like to go on holiday, that needs to go too. You need to release capacity. Okay, let's do this. Come on. And actually, just, you know, as a side, the week I gave in my notice, Ed got a temporary promotion at work. Like, God has the details covered, and that was amazing. So then I thought, okay, you know, the children are going to go back to school in September. I'm going to have loads of capacity. And this is a journey that I will fill you in on more if you would like to know about it more. But basically, I thought, you know, this massive thing, something like massive would land on my doorstep. And be like, whoa, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And then it was just, you know, it was really quiet. And what I just felt God saying is, you need to be with me. I'm going to increase something in you. I want more intimacy in our relationship with you. So I just went through a period of just, you know, spending lots of time with God. And at the same time, knowing that there was a need in the church, in the kids' team, for, like, an admin to be done. So I was like, okay, I'm going to volunteer some time in the church to do the admin. So I was doing that. And then there's to look back. Transition is a great thing to look back on. Like, if you've been through a big transition and you know the kind of feelings of unsettledness, of frustration at times, of like your mind being in one place and your spirit being in another and their emotions being in another and not quite together, like, you know your logical thing is what that's thinking, and you know what actually your spirit's saying that you're just trying to ignore, and then you know your emotions and everything. And so that this was going on for a couple of months, and then in quite a short space of time, actually, and I think similar was going on with Rachel, and quite a short space of time, actually, for both of us, it just came together and everything just, yeah. And now here we are.
That's amazing. You know, that speaks to me, church, and I know that actually, if we had time to unpack Rachel's story and the sacrifice that her and Graham and the children have made. Week upon week, Graham has come to church and basically had those two children to facilitate Rachel to be out there when we've been really short-staffed. I just want to say, I look at people like this, and, you know, behind every person in this church, there's a story. And for so many of our core team and the leaders that carry weight in the life of the church, we can look and paint a picture and have an idea of what we think it might be like. But the truth is that for anyone that steps up and puts their head above the parapet to lead, it's a journey of laying things down. It's a journey of being obedient. And this is the Skylark spirit. This is what we stand for as a church, of actually just saying, I don't know how I'm going to work out the detail, God, but if you're asking me, then I'm going to get involved and I'm going to be willing, and I'm not going to stand on the sidelines. And I want to honor these two women before me, because we know a glimpse of what it's cost each of them to do what they're doing. And actually, even in this next season, there's a lot of uncertainty as you transition into new things on both sides. So could we just take a moment and actually honor them? Thank you. Well, we had a few other questions, but we're kind of coming into land at this point. Rach, I'd love to ask you, what are some of the key challenges and mountains that we're currently facing within Kids Church? And then we're going to talk about how we can get involved.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so obviously, with the increase in number, the main kind of overarching challenge is that we just need more team, we need more helpers, we need more leaders. And I mean, you've got these little cards, and it's got a Bible verse on there. And I was listening to a really good preach probably about 6 months ago, and you know, we kind of have a tendency to live like Jesus is coming tomorrow, but it might not be for like another 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000 years. And actually, the psalm, which is Psalm 102:18, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created will love and serve the Lord. And I don't feel like, you know, I do the kids' work because I love it. And I do the kids' work because, it's just vital to me. But I also do it because I have a responsibility. Because if those children don't find out about God and get to have a relationship with him, then there's going to be no one to tell people in the future about God. There's going to be no one to tell people, you know, this is God. What about, imagine that, a future generation that didn't love and serve the Lord. And so the main challenge is kind of just team, but being more specific, we've got, we probably have a real need for one-to-one people to come in and work one-to-one within the groups with our children, because there's a kind of increasing number of additional needs where they just would really benefit from having support within the group. There's a whole load of different ministries under the umbrella of kids team. So there is Little Ones, which is the play group. There is the Make and Play Mornings, which is the thing that Claire Day has headed up, and the holiday clubs. it's a holiday club. We want to do a summer holiday club, and we need to just kind of find out how we're going to do that. We've got dreams of starting a discipleship group for the kids that are in, like, who are 7, 8, 9. And just all of these things, though, we need people who would be willing to come and teach in the different groups, like one-offs. Everyone can help. If you don't feel like you can get involved by helping out within the actual groups, we just need the chairs cleared away at the end of the service on a Sunday. We need people to pray for us. We need people that are going to, you know, be committed to praying every week and maybe coming in and praying with the team and coming out. I don't know if I've missed anything.
Well,
and we just want people, and we don't want to be desperate. We just want people to know that, you know, there is a need, and so many people can serve as well in this. You don't have to be like all over the top and woo like me. There's just a kind of, we are a body, aren't we? And it's the unique kind of giftings that we're given.
That's brilliant. Oh, it's a very helpful answer, H. So let me just explain what's going to happen next. In a moment, I'm going to ask Lindsay to talk you through the cards that you should hopefully have on your chair.
Quite a useful fan today.
Yeah. If you've got one, why don't you just hold it up so I know that you know what I'm talking about. Fantastic. Thank you. But before we do that, for parents who have children downstairs, we are going to ask you just to make your way. No, we're not.
No.
I got that wrong.
They're little.
I should have known this. Lindsay, I'm just going to hand over to Lindsay. She knows everything.
Shall I talk about this and just...
You talk about this and then we'll explain about the kids.
Paul, you're on, mate. So, in a moment, the children are going to come back, but they're going to come back with their leaders. So, just not just yet, but if you do have children in the group downstairs, just look out for them. They're going to come out in batches, and all the children are going to come out, and they're going to come down the front area so that they're all going to be prayed for. So that's going to happen in a moment. So, I'm just going to take you through the card. So you've all got one. Now, I just want to echo what Rachel said. We're not about just grabbing whoever we can get hold of because we're desperate for people. Like, God spoke to me really clearly about team that I shared with our team about a few weeks ago, about actually every team member being like treasure. I was at the beach and I was just spending time with God, trying to get some vision for taking on this role. And while I was there, I thought, right, I'm going to collect some bits for my children while I'm there. And they all like different things. So my eldest loves like that sea glass that you can get that has been like in the ocean and edged away and it's like opaque and it's just beautiful. My daughter loves shells, like lots of different pretty shells, and my youngest son loves stones and pebbles. So I was looking out for different things for each of them, and these were going to be their treasures. So if you see your children coming out soon, just kind of the little ones, just kind of get hold of them and usher them down and kind of just sit down the front. And God was like, hey, I'm speaking to you right now. Like, put your hand in your pocket. And I kept finding loads of each thing. And he said, and hold them in your hand. Look at them. These are treasures for your children. This is like team. This is how I see the team. They are all different, and they're all treasure. They've all got something different to bring, a different quality to bring. And because they're treasure, they are treasured, okay? So I really believe that there are treasures sitting here amongst you, and the Holy Spirit is just starting to stir something in you, okay? Like Rachel said, everybody could get involved with supporting this children's ministry. If you can clear a chair, then after church on a Sunday, we need all the chairs cleared, apart from that section for little ones on a Thursday, that we're getting regularly over 100 people to. This is one of our community projects. projects, and make and play in the summer holidays. If you have more time, then you can help set up, pack down. At the end of the Sunday service, you can come out and help us clear away a lot of the glitter and the mess and the pasta. And there'll be others that God is starting to stir something inside you, I really believe. So there's some children coming out now. If they're one of your children, if you just can come and get them and take them, usher them. So on your card, there are different sections that you can see. And I just want you to spend some time now. I'm going to just pray that Holy Spirit, you would start stirring something in this place right now. I thank you that this church is just as much for the children as it is for us. And I pray, Lord God, that as people get their pens right now and they have a look. So we need people to come on team on a Sunday. We need people to get involved with the holiday clubs and the school clubs, to get involved with after school groups. We need people to get involved in our community projects. Little Ones is going to be expanding soon to do other things. And we need people to come on board with that. We need people for set up and pack down. If you can make a cup of tea and coffee, then we need you on a Thursday. So Lord God, I just pray that you would stir something in this place. And as people would start responding now, Holy Spirit, just be in this, Lord Jesus, for your glory. This is glorifying you, Lord. So just take your time and just bear with us while the children start coming down. And just have a look at your card and fill it in. And I'll be looking forward to collecting them. And I think at the end, I don't know if they're set up, but if there's a spare offering tub that could maybe be put on the front, maybe that would be better. And then once you've filled them in, just come and pop them in the tub at any point after the service.
Thank you, Lindsay. That's wonderful. So we're really glad to have the children back in, and they're still filtering back in. Please do take time to ask God if you could respond to that, because as you can see, we are beautifully bursting at the seams, which is a great problem to have as a church. It's a problem associated with growth. It's a healthy problem. But we would love as many dynamic or faithful or passionate people to get involved in this team as possible. So we're going to pray in a moment over the transition of leadership from Rachel to Lindsay. Before we do, Lindsay, I wonder, just in a nutshell, whether you would be willing to share your vision for Kids Church moving forward so that we've all heard it.
Okay, so in a nutshell, I love the thing on the walls as you come in, we see a church. Okay, so this is what I want you guys to get hold of, and this is what I'm going to be speaking over you guys and trying not to get emotional about this as well. But we see a kids' church full of the Holy Spirit, where children encounter God and then walk with him for the rest of their lives. Wow. Yeah, we see a kids' church full of the Holy Spirit, where children encounter God and walk with him for the rest of their lives.
Wow, what a vision. So this is what we're going to do. Firstly, I'd like to invite up the families, including children, of both Lindsay and Rachel, because the truth is that these guys have been involved at every step of the way of facilitating them to lead and will be. So if we could have those guys up, that would be great. Graham and Ralph, could we have you on the platform? Now, normally I would ask us to stand. I'd like our spirits to be standing, but actually we don't want for the children to kind of be overshadowed in this moment, because as we pray, we're also praying for our children and our families too. Okay, so we're going to remain seated, but in your heart, you're standing up in the spirit, okay? Brilliant. Any members of the VLT who are here, could you just come and just lay hands? I am going to get emotional, and the reason I'm going to get emotional is that, as I said at the very beginning, I believe that this transition that you guys are witnessing today, the spirit in which it's been done, the way that these two have just seamlessly listened to God
honoured one another at every turn has been exemplary. And I love that we do transition well as a network and in this church. But I just know that the unity and the love and the way that the focus has been on God and our children at every turn is something that delights his heart. And Rachel, first of all, before we pray, as a church, we want to honour you for the way in which you've led our children so incredibly. And to Graham and to Ralph and to Jacob, who have not only facilitated that, but I'm sure at moments supported where it's been challenging, and just put one foot in front of the other in the times where it's been weary and you know, hard graft. We want to say thank you to you guys. Rachel, you are such a woman of grace. You have a sweet spirit, and you have a heart that searches after God. And we know that you're still passionate about investing into the transition age group, into the upstairs kids. But we also know that God isn't finished with your transition yet. And we don't want to leave you high and dry as a church. We want to pray you into the fullness of what he has next for you, because he's raising you up for such a time as this. So let's pray for Rach first. Lord, we know that you are so delighted with Rachel. You are so delighted with her, and you're saying, well done, good and faithful servant, for this leg of the journey. As you have held the baton of vision and leadership, as you have seen exponential growth in that which he's entrusted you with, and all the joys and delights, but all the trials that has thrown up, you have been commendable at every turn. You have been one who's chosen to bless. You've been one who's chosen to hope. You've been one who's chosen to trust. And you have delighted yourself in God. And because of that, I just believe that he will give you the desires of your heart as you continue this transition. This isn't a taking away, as I said before. This is an addition. As you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. And so, Father, we want to pray that as you lift the mantle of responsibility for the overarching vision and leadership of Kids Church from Rachel's shoulders, that there would be a lightness in her spirit, but that there would be no void. There would be no sense of lack. There would be no sense of uncertainty or lack of direction, that she wouldn't feel lost or confused. But instead, God, that you would continue to direct her paths. Lord, that as you've shown her vision for all sorts of other areas that she's passionate about, God, that you would just tailor make the next role for her, that you would tailor make that area of service, that she would pioneer something incredible. Lord, that you would just give her amazing stolen moments with you and with her family. Lord, that you would Lord, just enable her to use her time wisely in this season. And as she continues to invest into and serve the vision of Kids Church, we honor her for modeling your servant heart of leadership. Lord, we thank you that leadership is not about platforms, it's not about numbers, it's about our heart position before you. And what we see in Rachel is a leader who has consistently had an incredible attitude and heart position before you. And so we bless her today, and we cheer her on into the next leg of her race, and we say thank you, God, that she has not seen anything yet. Lord, that this has just been preparation for the next area of ministry that you have for her. We prophesy into her and Graham and the children today, Lord, that they will go from strength to strength in the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for what is about to come. Be ready, Rachel, be ready. Keep your hands clear. Don't fill them up with other things, or don't look to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes on him, because it's coming, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And now we pray for Lindsay and for Ed and for Henry, Beth and Toby, and we thank you for this family. Lord, we commission Lindsay as she steps into leading Kids Church. Lord, we thank you for the way in which she has faithfully sown in and out of season. Lord, not expecting a title, not expecting a position, just honoring you with the first fruits of what she had to give. Thank you that she's a leader who saw a need and met it. And Lord, that basically looked entirely unglamorous. It's looked like paint all over her clothes and bits of glue in her hair. It's looked like setting up and waiting for other team members
members to come and join her, and you know, feeling increasingly passionate, but not knowing exactly where that was going to end up. And Lord, I thank you that all the time you have seen and you have known that you've been raising her up for such a time as this, to carry the mantle of leadership for Kids Church and to carry the vision in her heart and to impart that to others. We bless her today as she takes on that responsibility. We want to pray protection over her, over Ed, over the children, and we say nothing will hinder these guys from doing what you've called them to do. And we know she doesn't do it on her own. She does it with all of these wonderful children cheering her on, with every blue-shirted member of the team supporting and being part of contributing to that vision. And we honor each member of that team today and every parent and family that makes up the diversity that is Kids Church. And she does that with a leadership team who wholeheartedly have her back and support her and say yes and amen to every plan and purpose. And so, God, would you come and anoint her, appoint her, establish her, and root her in your love as she steps forward to lead this. May no weapon formed against her prosper. And Lindsay, we just take every limit off you now. We know we keep talking to you about dreaming bigger, and I know you're dreaming big dreams, but now we just say, come on, just take the limits off. There are no limits over what God is calling you to in this season and what God is calling our children to. And we love our children, and we want them to flourish in every way possible. So God, would you just continue to minister to her heart? May it always remain sweet. Lord, in those moments where the rubber hits the road and she's wondering why on earth she said yes to this, I pray that her heart would remain sweet and trusting in you at all times, that she would not lean on her own understanding. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we've got a little gift that we would like to give to Rachel, to say a big thank you for who she is and all she has done and will continue to do in the weeks and months to come. So could we just once again say thank you to her and honor her? And we could stand for this moment. And on that joyous note, let's have tea and coffee. Have a great week, church. And please, yeah, put those cards into this very pot here. We would love you to get on board. Have a great week, church. Love you loads.